Hey, I'm Elena.
And I'm Sophie.
And you're listening to
Urban Legends Told by Urban Idiots. All right.
So this is the episode.
This is the episode
that the audio got lost.
Yeah.
So now we're re-recording it, but we recorded that a month ago, I'd say. So, a month-ish, right?
Wait, the Iowa one?
Yeah, and it got deleted?
No, way more than that. It was, like...
Even better, because it's still raw to us.
Yeah. It's brand new.
Brand spanking new.
But I think it's when we had, the 3 months where we just didn't post a new episode. We recorded it in there.
Okay.
And then we fell off the train, man.
Left without us. Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's right. But yeah, so this is fresh. This is all real reactions.
I honestly don't remember a lot of mine. It'll come back to me.
Yes.
But warning, it might sound choppy because usually when I do my research the night before or 2 nights before, and so it's fresh in my brain, and so I can write little choppy sentences and know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Now, we'll have to see. We'll just roll the dice. We'll see what happens.
Roll the dice. Let's go. See what we get. Snake eyes.
Snake eyes, baby.
Well, eels I think... again. You went first last time, so should I just take her away?
Take her away.
Okay, so my first one is Haunted House in Clarion. It's Clarion or Clarion, C-L-A-R-I-O-N. Yeah, I spelled that right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So here's the good old legend. Legend has it, you go upstairs in the house, and you pick up a photo off the ground that happens to be in the house. It happens to be there, right?
Yeah, you know, scrapbooking gone wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then you take it home and you sleep with it, in your arms.
As one does,
yeah. And then when you wake up, the photo will be gone. And when you go back into the haunted house, the photo will be in there, right where you found it last. And then in the photo, there will be a dark figure in the photo.
It's like the Chef Boyardee can.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It followed you home.
Okay, that's creepy, though. It's creepy.
Chef Boyardee got a darker meaning.
Yeah. Chef? What's going on?
They should have did, a Halloween commercial for that, where it was, creepy Halloween music and, follows you home. Maybe they did that. I don't know. So, I looked up a little bit of history of this house. So, the legend and what the history came from it. So, the history is a family of six. A father, mother, there's two twins, oldest brother, and a daughter. Okay. I don't know the gender of the twins, but
they're just twins. That's their gender.
Exactly. So it all started when the mother had an affair, and she filed for divorce. And then one day, the mother was about to leave, and the father said, quote, "If you leave, we all leave," end quote.
Oh. Dad?
Yeah. So the father then lit a match and burnt his arms.
Oh my god.
Then he threw the match to the ground. Three daughters were there when this happened, and the son was gone. The father died, the mother died, and the twins were in the second story and ended up jumping out.
Okay.
They died from their injuries from jumping, and then the oldest sister made it out alive, but then she went out back and hanged herself.
Oh.
And then the son was the only survivor.
Oh my god. So the twins were girls.
Yeah.
Is what I got from that.
Yes.
And also, very sad story.
Yes, very sad. So that's the legend with it. You go up in that house and you pick the photo off. I don't know really what the photo has to do with
it. It's probably their family photos.
Honestly,
and the dad's
no,
the family's not leaving. They're staying here.
That's smart.
And he's the figure in the picture.
Oh, smart. Yeah. Or it's the darkness of the affair.
Spooky. The poor son, though.
Yeah, I know.
Could you imagine I'm going out to my friend's house, and you come back and you're what happened, everyone?
Or were they on a two-story? They're on the second story. So could you imagine jumping? Just gotta jump.
And then
you just die from your injuries.
I know.
That would suck.
I always think about that in my house.
Mm-hmm.
If my house catches on fire, I wouldn't have to jump out my window. But fire spread to my staircase, I'd have to jump out the window.
Oh, yeah. Would you, can you jump on top of your neighbor's house? Do they have a two-story, kind of by it?
No. There's a big tree between us.
Okay.
And you would think, jump into the tree, but they're all really weak branches because it's farther out.
Yeah. Maybe it's slow your fall, though, if you latched onto
That's
it
true.
And then
That's
like
true.
Slowly plummet down.
All I know is that if I jumped out my window,
yeah,
I'd at least have two broken legs. Maybe if I was lucky.
Honestly, just keep like a rope ladder in your room.
We have one of those ladders, and it's like in the closet. And they're okay. Like, yeah, so if the house catches on fire, go run and grab that ladder.
Yeah.
And attach it to your window. I'm like, if the house is on fire, I'm not going to be coherent enough to like go and grab the ladder and be like, I know how to attach this. I'm perfectly fine. Like,
exactly.
I'm going to need an instructional video, please.
Maybe you'll have, like, a fire extinguisher or something up here.
True. That's actually...
Do that. Yeah.
That sounds better.
A little bit better. Okay. Thanks for joining Fire Safety with us. Stop, tap, and roll.
Where's your meetup place?
Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah. Do you got the sticker on your window that says kids live here?
Kids live here.
Kids sleep here.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah. So that was the end of my my little legend right there. So
yeah.
So you can
tragic story.
Yeah.
Scary figure.
Yes.
The makings.
And I just hope that the picture is like a Polaroid picture. Yeah. I think that'd make it a little bit more creepier.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more, I don't want to say ancient because it's not that far away, but a little bit more retro.
Yeah, if
you will. So.
No, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Or not, but yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
So my legend is the Black Angel or the Black Angel of Death. Whatever one fits your fancy.
Okay.
So, this legend is located in the Oakland Cemetery in Iowa City, Iowa.
Iowa City, Iowa.
Iowa.
Iowa, Iowa.
If you forgot where we were.
Yes.
The statue is 8.5 feet tall.
Okay.
It was done by Mario Corbel.
Okay.
In 1913. So it's actually like, it's 8 feet tall, 8.5 feet tall, but 4 feet of that is the pedestal it's on.
Okay.
And then the 4.5 feet is the angel.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. She's kind of cute.
Kind of looming over you a little bit though.
Yeah.
With how tall it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you the picture. It's actually really pretty. I mean, kind of creepy, but.
Okay.
Yeah. So originally it was bronze, but has since turned a dark black. I think probably because of.
Weathering.
Weathering,
right?
Erosion.
Yeah.
And it's, it kind of, rather than, like, standing very prominently, like you see in a lot of cemeteries, like angels, it's kind of more, its wings are drooping down and it's looking down.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It
kinda looks like, style.
Yeah, she's kind of, like, mourning those who have lost, you know?
Yes, it's not like, yay,
they're dead.
Like, heaven,
yeah.
Whoopee. It's more like, oh, hey, man, they're dead.
Let's have some remembrance.
Let's have some remembrance up here.
So she's quite the center of speculation because there are a number of stories surrounding this new appearance of the statue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we said weathering because that makes the most sense, but here's some good ones.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
One story claims the reason that the statue turned black is because the woman who ordered the statue's construction, Teresa Feldevart? Feldevart?
Okay.
F-E-L-D. E-V-E-R-T.
Feldevart.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Go
on. I kind of like her name. I'm like, okay, Teresa.
Okay.
So, she ordered the statue's construction. She was apparently a very mysterious woman who people were like, oh, she must be kind of evil if she's mysterious. But maybe she just wanted to be alone.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. She didn't want, like, her business to be out there. She was her own self, having her own happiness. You know?
Respect her secrecy.
Screw the town. Who needs the town?
Yeah. So they thought she was evil. Because they're like, yeah, the fact that she's evil, that's what caused the statue to turn black, which served as a reminder of the sins of her family.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's, like, dark.
I know. I was like, what if she just liked being alone? And people were like, she's evil, the statue's black because she's evil, and those are the sins of her family.
Like, she just liked being alone. Why did they have to drag her family into it
as
well?
I know.
The audacity of these people, I tell you.
So that's one of them.
Okay.
Teresa sounds like a cool gal. I don't think she'd do that.
Mm-mm.
So another story claims that the color changed the night following Teresa's death when the angel was said to have been struck by lightning.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, that's all I have for that one.
And if you think about lightning strike, getting struck by lightning is rare.
Yeah.
So it's like the odds of it hitting that. Well, statue's really tall up. Like, high up in the air. So I guess the chances are more. But still, it's kind of like, what are the odds?
There's trees around it. It's only 8.5 feet tall.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm.
The last two theories don't even mention Teresa, even though she's the one who made it. But the first says a man built the monument over his wife's grave, and because of her unfaithfulness during their marriage, it turned black. And kind of, Mm-hmm. Not even along the same lines. This one's really out of left field.
Okay.
The final story claims a preacher's son was buried beneath the statue, and it turned black because the preacher murdered his son.
Oh. Okay, that's I'm a like, different that legend.
Yeah. It's just kind of a little mysterious. Yeah. There is, actually, I have one more about Teresa.
Okay.
It seems like I was going crazy when I wrote this, and I wrote it on the other page.
I like the name Teresa.
I do too. Mm-hmm. So another explanation to this change of color comes with Teresa's husband, who, when he buried her, I skipped the word.
Oh, okay.
Said he would never dishonor her memory by sleeping with another woman, but when he moved past his grief and found another sweetheart, I use the word sweetheart.
Oh, man. I would have changed that, but I love it. Sticking right to the story.
That was Sophie from multiple months ago.
That we can't, yeah.
She was crazy.
We can't blame present Sophie.
Yes. That's not my fault. when he found a new gal and slept with her, the statue turned black since he broke his graveside promise.
Graveside promise.
Yeah.
That's a promise. That's not just a pinky promise. Yeah, yeah. That's a...
So, those are the little theories behind why it turned black. I'm not completely done with the legend.
Okay.
Because there's some stuff circulating around the statue even more, like the effects of it.
That's really cool. I love it.
But, in reality, Teresa Feldavar did in fact order the construction of the statue as a memorial to her son. It also served to mark her and her second husband's resting spot, and the statue is now bronze. It's now black due to simple aging and weathering. Mm-hmm.
Like what we said, yeah.
I think people just like to have that story around it, which is cool. But
good old legend.
Legend still surrounds the statue, though, because legend has it, if you kiss the angel, you'll be struck dead unless you're a virgin.
Really?
But any girl kissed near the angel in the moonlight will die within 6 months.
Oh my god, what the...
But also, if a virgin is kissed in front of the angel will return back to its original color.
I mean, I guess, like, if that legend is going to be true, it's good thing it's in a cemetery.
Yeah.
Because who's going to be kissing in a cemetery?
I don't know.
Unless
it's for the legend. But then also, touching the angel at midnight on Halloween will mean your death in 7 years.
Really?
And finally, every passing Halloween causes the angel to turn one shade darker as a reminder of the people she killed.
Ugh.
She kind of crazy.
How can you tell me it's a shade darker? Because it's probably already, like, so dark.
I know. It's like, probably, like, actually pitch black.
Please tell me someone's taking, like, a GoPro, like, time-lapse video of the statue time. Please tell me someone's doing that. If not, someone get on that.
Also, why is this angel kind of sexist?
Yeah.
It's really just like, any girl kissed there, dead.
Yeah, exactly. When you saw that too, that kind of like was in my head, got mad for a second, and I was like, wait.
And it's also like, legend has it, if you kiss the angel, I guess the only way for it to turn back to its original color would be if two virgins kissed.
Oh.
It would have to be two men, because the girls would die.
The girls would die.
So
like, who's gonna do that? Who's gonna take over the team?
Yeah. That's the only way to make it back to its original color with no one dying.
Who's going
to
go kiss in front of a weird statue? Let us know. Get back to us.
But,
email us. No.
Yeah.
Email us at.
Send us a picture of you kissing in front of a statue.
Yeah. Or, proposing in front.
Oh.
Oh, wait.
That's never been tested.
No. Oh my god, that'd be fun. Like, would you just die?
Could you imagine that? Like, okay, I'm gonna propose, see what happens in front of the statue, and you just get struck dead.
That'd be kind of creepy, though, because, like, think about it. Like, if it's traditionally, you know, like, the man's proposing, like, thinking it's, like, a man, like, proposing to a woman, like, in front of the statue, you're, like, being sweet. You're like, oh, I love you with all my heart. You're my heart, you're my soul, you know, all that blah, blah
stuff.
Yeah, and then you just, like, you know, get down on one knee and bring the ring out, and then you just, like, look up at the statue, because the statue's like this.
Just
like,
watching, it's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Dead in 6 months.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, bye. You thought you were going to be happy? You thought you were going to spend your life together? Nope.
Not on my watch. But,
not on my pedestal. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Good times.
This statue, though, even touching or looking into the angel's eyes results in illness. And if someone tries to vandalize her, they're swiftly struck down. One story claims a group of men peed on her, and on their way home from doing so, got caught in a fatal car accident.
Oh my god.
So, but also, really, you go to a cemetery to pee on its beautiful statue? Yeah. I mean, you don't deserve to die, but like, I'm gonna beat you.
Like, don't pee, like, in a cemetery, but, like, at least if you're going to, like, go into, like, a wooded part, like, far away, not in, like, a, like, yeah. a statue
That's
or something.
That's someone's grave. That's someone's
exactly.
grave.
Exactly. God, I hope someone pees on their grave now. Well, wait, because they're dead, actually. That's right. I'll say dead. When they die.
Yeah, they're dead.
And that's kind of insensitive. But maybe if someone pees on their grave.
Yeah. Just... So I guess the moral of the story is no kissing in front of her. Just don't touch her. Don't look at her.
Maybe go to a bathroom to pee? Or no?
Yeah, definitely go to a bathroom to pee. Don't vandalize graves.
Yeah, don't.
Those are the big lessons.
That's a death wish.
Yeah.
That's kind of a pun.
That's a...
I don't know. Dark.
I think you should go there, Elena. See what happens.
You think so? I think that'd be fun.
I think that'd be fun for you.
Is Iowa far? Is it really? Thinking on the map. I don't know geography.
It's below Illinois, isn't it?
Illinois.
That's what I said, Illinois.
I thought I said Illinois at first.
No, I said Illinois.
Okay, we can't get yelled at again.
I don't
want
to get yelled at.
Don't want to make anyone Illinois again.
I think it's like, maybe not right below it, but it's like in that line. You know?
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
No, it's like, below Minnesota.
Okay. Okay, cool.
It's below Minnesota. Okay. That's where it is.
I mean, road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah, so is that the end of your legend?
Yeah, that's her.
Ooh, okay.
My lady, my queen.
I will have to tell you, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I believe that, I believe that would be, like, my second favorite one. I think my first favorite one is the steps with the guy.
Oh,
the
yeah,
thing.
Yep, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
I forgot what episode that was, one. But... Mm-hmm. I really liked her.
Like, probably like awesome. Indiana.
Yeah. It would be in Indiana.
Don't quote me on that. I'm just an idiot.
An urban idiot. Anyways, okay, so my next urban legend here is the Devil's Chair.
Ooh.
It's located in Guthrie Center, Iowa. So here we go. This is all about so the Devil's Chair is like a grave marker kind of. Like a chair. Okay. It looks like a chair.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Union Cemetery. It is strongly situated between two unmarked graves.
Okay.
So maybe it's not a grave marker. It's just kind of a chair in between them and the two graves. That's what I gather from this.
Just kind of chilling there.
Yeah. So here is the history of it. Or just the history in general, not specifically on the chair, but out in 1885 by a county... surveyor. Oh my god, hold on, wait. Laid out in 1885 by a county surveyor for William and Margaret Hammond, who created this graveyard as a private burial ground. Okay, as a private burial ground. Okay, sorry. Once again, guys, it's about a little bit.
Yeah, it's
kinda... Yeah.
So they hired someone to make a private burial ground for them.
For William and Margaret Hammond. Kind of a cool last name.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, yeah.
Hamon. Isn't that a Spanish word?
Hamon?
Yeah.
Is that like...
Probably. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Last time I took Spanish was high school, sophomore year, so.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been a hot minute. I'm not a fluent speaker.
But yeah, so the city of Guthrie Center, they purchased the cemetery from the Hammonds after it already had like a bunch of graves in it. The original name of the cemetery is uncertain, but the official name, it became Union Cemetery under city ownership. And then also, the chair that sits in between the two graves has no description on it.
No description?
So no one really knows. It's just sits between two unmarked gravestones. It's presumed to be belonging to Miller and Peterson. I believe Peterson was... just a family member, because this was a private burial ground.
Yeah.
So someone who was, was able to be buried in that private cemetery, all bougie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In that time. So they think it might have been a memorial to either one of them, although the local legend claims the chair belongs to none other than the devil himself.
Hey!
Therefore, getting its name, the devil's chair.
Yeah, shout out to Satan.
Yeah, shout out to him. Hope
shout
he's listening.
Out.
Yeah, so the legend around it is, legend has it, bad luck, even death will foul anyone who sits on it. And
okay.
Yeah, so that's like kind of eerie. Like, think about that. Like, you don't know about the legend. You're strolling in the cemetery.
A little tired.
Oh, man, I'm marking a sweat.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, my God.
And then you just plop down on that thing. And then all of a sudden, oop, she dead. Like, later. Yeah. I don't think you die, like, immediately. Just, like, eventually. I would. Yeah. It says death will follow you, so.
Yeah. I would definitely sit on that chair.
Yeah.
Not like knowing it's gonna kill me. Not, like, knowing.
But, like, in that moment. Like, you're sweating, you're heaving, you're hoeing.
Yeah. I see a seat, like, a bench, park bench. I'm like, that bad boy needs to be sat on.
It looks lonely. Yeah. That's what they're made for, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
They'll give them a little company.
Uphold their purpose.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I just think that's really interesting. Like, you just, I don't know. Like, even knowing the legend, like, you go into the cemetery, and it's kind of, like,
just seeing
eerie.
That.
It's like, should I sit on it still? Like, kind of, like, one of those. I could see, like, a group of, like, teens or whatever being in there and be like, you won't sit on it, blah, blah, blah. Like, they should do a movie on that.
Yeah,
it might be cheesy, but
it might be a little anticlimactic.
I
guess it could be like the movie that we watched. What's that one with the plane?
Oh, I talk about this all the time. Final Destination.
Yeah. Like, kind of along that line, like this group of people sits in the chair and then they're all getting killed.
Yeah, and then they all get killed. Yes.
Yes.
100%.
It's kind of interesting that no one knows where the chair came from, though.
Yeah, and this fact that has, like, no inscription on it.
Just kind of sitting there. Is it, like, nothing. A cement chair?
Yeah, it's a cement chair.
Okay, so...
I believe it is.
Okay, so it could, I guess, be an unmarked grave, but...
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But even
no
so...
No one knows, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
All right. I'll post a picture of it. I pop a squat on it, though, yeah.
Yeah, pop a squat. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Heck yeah.
So, Was that your...
Yeah,
okay.
That's all
I was like,
that.
I don't want to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
Now, I'm going to warn everyone, this next one's hefty.
Hefty, okay.
It's hefty. It's about, let's see, 7 pages.
Okay, let's do it.
It's just because it's kind of true crime, but then there's also, like, kind of ghostly urban legend things at the end.
Ooh, okay.
So it's a lot of, though. I wanted to get all the information down because this case has always been so weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Let's it might be a little bit more true crime than usual, so sorry if that's not your thing, this is probably going to be like 20 minutes of me talking about this, so.
Okay.
Let's go. So, this one's called the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. In Villisca, Iowa, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, either on the evening of June 10th, 1912, or the early morning of June 11th, 6 members of the Moore family and 2 friends of their daughter were bludgeoned to death in the Moore family home.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so very sobering start.
Yeah.
The victims were 43-year-old Josiah and his wife, 39, Sarah, as well as their 4 kids, Herman, 11, Mary, 10, Arthur, 7, and Paul, 5. Along with the Moore family, 2 of Mary's friends, Ina, 8, and Lena, 12, their last name is Stillinger,
okay.
I think, Stillinger,
mm-hmm.
Who happened to be spending the night, were also killed.
Oh my god, wrong day to spend the night.
I know.
Ugh.
Well, That would be awful. When I was a kid, I liked spending the night, like, at a certain age. And then there was, like, a period of, like, a year or two where I, like, would go to friends' houses to spend the night. And then I, like, hated it. I was, like, terrified. I was like, I hate this. I need to go home. I can't sleep.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not like that.
Me neither.
I mean, I wouldn't like being murdered in my own home either.
Well,
like,
yeah, no,
but,
no.
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time. Well, I don't know. Wrong moment to pick a sleepover date.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
So the Moores were fairly affluent and well-known. They're also well-liked in the community. They weren't really the type to have enemies.
Okay.
So this kind of shocked the community. They were kind of like, why them? They're very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
So let's set up the preceding night, the last night they were alive. So on June 10th, the Moores and the visiting girls attended the evening service at their church, where they participated in a Children's Day program, which Sarah Moore had coordinated. The program ended at 9:30 p.m., after which the Moores and Stillinger sisters walked to the Moores' house, arriving between 9:45 and 10 p.m. So they have, like, their timing down really well.
Down pat.
Yeah.
What year was this again?
1912?
How did they...
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Probably just neighbors. Yeah. I feel like it was kind of small town.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So I feel like neighbors just kind of, like, you know,
and
when something
know
happens, you peek out your window.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Exactly. And plus, everybody, it sounds like they know the family, too. So
yeah.
then they'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, they talk to people daily. Okay.
Wave or whatever.
Yeah.
So the next morning around 7 a.m., Mary Peckham, the Moore's neighbor, became concerned when she noticed the Moore family had yet to come outside to do their morning chores. Miss Peckham knocked on the Moore's door, and when no one answered, attempted to open the door, only to find it locked. So Peckham let out the Moore's chickens and called Ross Moore, Josiah's brother. Mm-hmm. What a neighbor. I don't think I'd notice for a little while.
Yeah, me neither. That's a little sus to me, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'm just... I guess maybe they were, like, very, like, on top of their chores. Yeah. Like, okay. They were always out there.
That's true.
I think it was probably different because they obviously had to do the chores. Like, I wouldn't notice if my neighbors didn't come outside for a while because I'd be like, oh, they're just chilling inside, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like back in that time, like, all you really have is your neighbors and your friends and family. Because, like, now we have, like, technology, more technology. Exactly, where we're, like, by the TV set or something. But with them, it's like, oh, I wonder how they're doing. Mm-hmm. Not next door.
I'll go knock on the door,
exactly.
Let out the chickens for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Go off, queen. Let out those chickens.
Go to the coop. Yes. Chicken coop.
So, Ross knocked and shouted, and after receiving no response, what am I talking about? No, okay. Sorry, everyone. No, no. I'm just trying to figure out my own handwriting. So, he knocked and shouted outside the door, trying to get his family's attention. He received no response, so he unlocked the door with his spare key, whereupon he discovered the bodies of the Stillinger sisters.
Oh, God.
He then called for Henry Hank Horton, Villisca's primary peace officer. Not police, peace officer.
Peace officer, okay.
Yeah, which I think is basically a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Who found the entire household bludgeoned to death.
God, that's a sight. Oh, that's so
I know.
Bad.
Small town, like, cop, basically, walks into that. Yeah. I feel like he's in out of his, like, he's in over his head.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The murder weapon, being an axe, belonged to Josiah. Was found in the guest room. Doctors found the murders had taken place between midnight and 5 a.m. Just from, I guess, how the bodies were.
Okay.
The murderer or murderers were suspected of sneaking to the house while the group was at church, as most families in the small Midwest area left their doors unlocked.
Oh, God.
This was confirmed by the two cigarette butts found in the attic, which implied the killer hid there until the family returned and fell asleep. That part creeps me out, because could you imagine that? Just he's knows what he's gonna do. He just walks in the house, sits down in their attic, and is just smoking cigarettes, waiting for them to come home.
That's creepy.
Isn't that terrifying?
That is terrifying.
He's probably sitting in the dark so he doesn't get any attention. Like, oh my god. Creepy. So the murderer killed Josiah first, using the blade only on him, and giving him the most brutal beating. Reports say his face was cut to such an extent his eyes were missing.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really gruesome. I should have prefaced that with this.
Yeah.
Be careful for the rest of you who want to listen. If you don't like gruesome things,
go.
Sign off.
Sign off. Log off.
So, the killer then proceeded to kill the rest of the occupants with the blunt side of the axe. Which is interesting. They just used the sharp side on the dad.
Yeah.
But,
must spend more hate towards the dad.
Yeah. A lot more anger.
Mm-hmm.
So all the victims were killed in their sleep except for Lena, who had defensive wounds and was found lying across the bed. There was, they thought, maybe a possible sexual motive with her, as Lena's underwear was slid down her legs, but there was no visible assault.
Yeah, okay.
So it could have just been because she was struggling, and I think she was wearing a nightgown, so.
Okay, that's possible.
It seems the killer took his time before leaving as he went back to each victim to cover their faces with clothing and then proceeded to cover every mirror and window with blankets and clothes. Like, the windows, sure, you don't want someone to, like, look in. Why the mirrors?
That's, like, some, like, devil stuff.
Listen to this, though. The killer then cooked himself a plate of food he left untouched in the kitchen, and also left behind a bowl of bloody water in which he presumably cleaned off his hands.
Oh my god. DNA, right? Or they don't have that in 1912.
Well, yeah, they don't have that.
Yeah.
No, they don't have that in 1912. That wasn't until, like,
only
the 80s or 90s they had, like, DNA.
Killers now would be like, damn.
Yeah. This guy had it easy.
Yeah, what the hell? No.
Finally, before he left, he took a 4-pound slab of bacon from the Moore's freezer and left it in the guest room next to the murder weapon.
But why? Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. The killer then locked the doors and left, simply walking away in the morning light. So he locked the door behind him and was like, I don't want anyone to rob them. Like, thanks, King. Really helps. Yeah.
Thanks.
So, I think I have something written at the top, which I'm just going to read now.
Okay.
So it says, marks on the ceiling from killer lifting the axe overhead suggested his, like, having a short height.
Really?
So it was, because, like, if he was tall and couldn't lift it over his head, he wouldn't go over his head. He'd go sideways.
Okay, good point.
So their thought process is he's shorter, so he's able to lift it above him and, like, nick the ceiling and go down.
Oh.
Yeah.
It could be a female, too, right? Or do they did they pinpoint it to where it is a male?
I mean, they might think just due to the, like... I mean, because beating someone, even with an axe, it's probably especially with an axe.
Yeah.
That's exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to be tired after doing that to one person, let alone seven.
Yeah.
So, not saying women couldn't do it, but I'm thinking women at the time would probably be more likely to do it.
Yeah, like, it's not... Yeah, in that time. No, it makes sense. But I don't know, I just keep going back to that neighbor that, like, hadn't seen them out
yet. It could be a woman, you'll see,
Okay, go ahead, continue.
So, seven suspects, some have since been disproven, and others have only just been considered, are the main ones. There's seven of them. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. I messed that up. So, I'm going to talk about two.
Okay.
There's, if you want to look into it, they're worth looking into it, but these two are the most compelling to me. So the first of which I'm looking at is who the police at the time strongly suspected. And the second is actually a newer one who was not considered at the time.
Okay.
But actually seems like, to me, the most likely. Mm-hmm. Like, this one checks out. So, police suspected Reverend George Kelly, who was a traveling minister, and who also happened to be in town the night of the murders, to have done the murders.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly reportedly suffered a mental breakdown in his adolescence and as an adult was accused of peeping and asking young women and girls to pose nude for him.
Oh.
So.
Of course he's a traveling
thank
minister.
Thank you, Reverend. No, thanks, Reverend. He came.
Oh, no.
He came to Villisca to teach the Children's Day services, which the Moors attended.
Mm-hmm.
Who hired him to do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Background checks, I guess, could be hard, but, like.
But, like...
Peeping Tom over here?
Peeping Reverend.
Peeping Reverend? I don't think so. He also left town between 5 and 5:30 a.m. June 10th, mere hours before the bodies were discovered. Mm-hmm. So, some weird timing.
Yeah, that's very weird timing.
He quickly confessed to the murders. Oh. But the jury did not believe his confession, because he's kind of been known to have some mental issues.
Okay.
In the weeks that followed, Kelly displayed a strange fascination with the case, writing many letters to the police, investigators, and the families of the deceased. This caused the police to further suspect him. He was questioned and replied with great detail, claiming to have heard and witnessed the murders. So it's kind of like, I need to take a drink of water, my throat is drying out.
Yeah, no.
It's...
Rekindle her. Mm-hmm. 100%. It's just so, like, just... crazy to think about. Like, you walk in and just see that, and the windows are covered, and even the mirrors. I'm still processing that. That's
I know
wild.
The mirrors are so weird. Mm-hmm. And the food, like, he sat down and made a meal for himself and pulled out bacon.
Exactly.
So this guy, because of his mental illness, the police didn't know if he was simply imagining his account or not. Like, maybe he was just placing himself there, just you never know.
Yeah.
Kelly, 2 years later, was arrested for sending obscene material through the mail and did a stint in a mental hospital and was then arrested in 1917. He confessed and then recanted and was tried and acquitted twice.
Wow.
So,
okay.
He always on trial, never charged, though.
Yeah.
Most seem to think he wasn't mentally or physically capable of the murders because he was 5'2 and 119 pounds.
218.
That's shorter and lighter than me.
Yeah. That's like, that'd be hard.
Too. Yeah.
But that's where they'd get the swinging up from.
Yeah. Would he could swing up. But at 119 pounds.
You're gonna, if you're not like as muscular.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, seven times? Mm-hmm. No way.
No way.
So, that's him.
Okay.
Very... wishy-washy guy. Not a great guy. Lots of mental health problems.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he did this, though. I see why the police kind of suspected him. He's a shady guy.
Oh, yeah.
But just confessing, recanting, kind of... I think maybe he just had a fascination with it.
Yep.
And since he was mentally ill, kind of went about that fascination in the wrong way.
A little bit, yes.
So this is who I think it was.
Okay.
Paul Mueller... what is it? What does it say? A possible German immigrant.
Possible.
He might have been a German immigrant.
He might have been. Possible.
I'm gonna say a German immigrant.
Oh my god.
Why did I write that? Oh my god. Okay.
I love that though. That's some character right there.
Yeah. He was the subject of Bill James and Rachel McCarthy's book, The Man from the Train, who they and I believe to be the killer. They suspect Mueller as he was found... Okay, so they suspect him of this murder because he was found to be the sole suspect and the subject of a failed year-long manhunt in 1897 for the murder of a family who employed him as a farmhand in Massachusetts.
Oh.
Does that make sense? I feel like
so he was a farmhand in Massachusetts for that family and then killed them?
And then, yeah, they died. And he was the only suspect, and he ran away, so there was a big manhunt for him.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So the authors began research in an attempt to solve the Belisca murders, whereupon they discovered dozens of newspaper stories describing the murders of dozens of families under similar circumstances to the Massachusetts murders and the Belisca murders across the U.S.
Were the mirrors covered?
You'll see.
Oh, okay. I'm excited.
The authors believe Mueller to be responsible for the Belisca murders as part of his decade-long killing spree, killing at least 59 people in 14 separate instances. The common features in these crimes include that the killer chose all the families who lived near railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
All the families were seemingly struck in ambush around midnight while the victim slept. The killer used the blunt side of an axe rather than the blade to strike the victims in the head and face. The killer used an axe found in the victim's house and left it in plain sight after the murders. The killer covered the victims with blankets to prevent blood splatter, covered windows from the inside of the house, and locked the doors before leaving. So the windows were covered and not necessarily mirrors.
Yeah.
But checks out.
Around the same stuff, yeah. Yeah. I feel like most killers wouldn't do, you know?
I don't think he was charged with all those murders, but they noticed this string of murders.
Okay.
And the one where he was the sole suspect for it had all these factors, so it kind of would make sense to...
Yeah, no, it would. Yeah. Like, okay, yeah.
So, in Mueller's... yeah.
If the shoe fits.
If the shoe fits, Mueller, I think you did this.
The axe fits. No, yeah. There we go.
If the axe swings, baby.
Yes.
So, in Mueller's suspected crimes, there was often, but not always, a sexual motive directed towards a pubescent girl.
Gross.
In the case of the Belisca murders, it could have been Lena. There was that possible thing.
That's right.
But, yeah, that's kind of all the facts for him.
Okay.
I think...
Yeah.
It's...
From what you've told me, too, that he sounds the most likely...
Yeah, I kind of want to read the book.
There's a book on it?
The Man from the Train. They wrote this book about him. Okay. Yeah. And so they look at this murder and all the other murders.
Oh, okay. That'd be an interesting book.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of facts and figures pointing that guy's way.
Oh, yeah. A lot of arrows going. Yeah. Boom, boom. Yeah.
But that's the true crime part. The urban legend part.
Yes.
Let's jump into her. It's a little short compared to the whole story. So.
Okay.
This house is a paranormal hotspot.
So it's still there? It's still chilling, standing?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, man.
The house was lived in before it became a historical site, but none of the families ever stayed long. Disembodied voices, footsteps, items moving, apparitions, shadows, you know, just like a sense of dread, like bad feelings suddenly washing over you.
Just like don't want to live there feelings.
Yeah.
Like...
Shadow people just touching when there was no one there.
Ew.
Yeah. Many a paranormal group have visited, including Ghost Adventures.
Really? They did?
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of want to watch that now.
Those goofy fellows. Yeah. But not all who visit have a good experience. This is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014, a man, an amateur ghost hunter, Robert Stephen Lawrence Jr., stabbed himself in the chest during his night stay at the house.
Wow.
I think he... I don't remember if he... Past Sophie didn't write if he died or lived, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna hope he lived, and they took him to... I know they took
Hope.
I remember them saying they took him to a hospital, so hopefully they saved him.
Okay. Do they know why he did?
I think he said something about... I think he did live, because I think he was talking about it.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
It was a ghost. Yeah. Like,
I think he said, like, something compelled him in the house to stab himself and kill himself.
Uh-huh.
So, maybe the spirits.
A lot of energy there. Yeah.
This, it's a scary place.
Oh, it sounds like it. Not a place I'd want to stay.
Yeah, the current owner, Martha Lynn, has multiple notebooks full of encounters people have had. She says very few guests leave without experiencing something.
Wow. See, if you're a paranormal, you love that type of stuff, I feel like that's a place you'd want to go.
But yeah, guess what? Day visits are $15 for adults, $10 for kids and seniors.
Oh.
Overnight visits are $428.
Okay.
So.
Kind of like.
Anyone out there want to go?
A Holiday Inn almost.
Yeah,
like
yeah. I need a place to sleep for the night in Villisca. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Well, my plane's on layover.
Yeah. Doesn't know the history.
Yeah.
Oh my. Do they have like a museum in the house too? Like gift shop type of thing?
I don't know if they have a gift shop, but I think it's like set up so okay. it looks like how the house did when
gotcha.
The murders happened.
All like axe murder stories remind me of Lizzie Borden.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing. That's what that reminds me of too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely think it was that guy. Paul. Definitely. Right? Paul Mule?
Paul. Yeah, Paul. Paul Mueller.
Paul. Yeah.
Just say Paul a bunch of times.
Paul.
Or like, wait, you know in the beginning of movies, how they like have all the people who worked on it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
yeah.
the monkey that'd be like, hi, I'm Paul.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hi, I'm Paul. Oh, my God. Oh, yes. What a classic. God.
I'm sorry.
That's Paul. That's the man on the train.
That's the man on the train.
Oh, man.
Someone stop him. He is a criminal.
Yeah. Stop him now.
But yeah, so. Terrible, tragic stories yes, off of people tragic. That we talked about.
Especially the incident in 2014, too. That's
yes,
very
yes.
sad.
Awful people as in the suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and terrifying house, it sounds like.
It does. Once we're done with this, I'm going to look up a picture of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, on the website. Yeah.
I'll post one on the Instagram.
I'm kind of intrigued, not going to lie. But
yeah, it's...
Very
I just went quiet. Yeah. That's all I said. It's...
Well, it's...
That's it.
Crickets.
Yeah, sorry. I feel like that one I just really rambled for a long time.
No, that was like really detailed and that was a really interesting. Yeah. I like that one. I mean, not like it, but like.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised it was so long because a lot of the time, I love doing this. I love doing our podcast. I love doing this. But a lot of times I'm doing the research and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm just writing down this and that's it.
Like, yes. Like,
I'm trying to bring the best information and then like halfway through I'll just be like, I've been staring at the wall for the past 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's like school all over again. Or like another part of school. It's like,
Oh God. But
yeah. Well, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed ours today.
Yeah. There were some spooky ones. Some... Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to do this episode,
yeah,
you know.
Finally.
God, I know.
How many times did we like put this one off?
Oh my God, so many times.
Yeah,
my notebook with all the research was in another, wasn't where I was, so I had to wait to, you know, grab that.
That's on Elena, not on me.
Yeah, call me out.
I've been the perfect angel.
Oh. Also, we might sound different, or maybe like...
Maybe even worse, better. Or maybe the same.
I was gonna say better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just covering our tracks, make sure we get all the options.
Yeah, Sophie got a new mic, so this is exciting.
Yeah. My old headphone mic, no more. I used that until I couldn't anymore.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm feeling fancy.
Fancy's fancy.
Hopefully it sounds good. If it doesn't sound good.
Then that's too bad.
If it doesn't sound good, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I waste a lot.
No, actually if it does sound good, I'm sorry, because you get to hear our voices crystal clear, and that's hell.
Yeah, that's so. That's rough, buddy.
Exactly. But yeah, so that was Iowa. Great state.
Iowa. I was going to say a joke, but I couldn't think of anyone for Iowa. I just said its name.
Yeah, but thank you guys for listening. And
yes.
Sophie, anything you'd like to add?
Definitely not. I have no thoughts in this ring.
No thoughts. Like our socials, and we will post pictures, so get ready for that to match it up. With the stories, the urban legends.
Yeah, and I don't know what state we're doing next.
Yeah,
we'll just surprise you guys.
Yeah, like every time. We're never on top of it.
We used to be,
but that's how it is. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
See ya.